Well, speaking of the hardwood, time for us now to talk Cleveland Cavaliers basketball. Cavs have been off for a week because of the All-Star break, but they return to action tomorrow night as they square off against the Phoenix Suns. And here to talk Cavaliers basketball with us, as he is every Wednesday, Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network. Don't forget, when we wrap up with Jim, thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco, we're giving away a pair of tickets to see the Cavaliers and the Detroit Pistons on March 2nd. Jim, as always, we appreciate the time. And, boy, the last time we spoke to you, it was on the day of the Cavaliers' final game before heading into the All-Star break, a triple overtime loss to the Nets in what was a wildly entertaining contest. Boy, an incredible effort. And what was a little bit of a tough loss. But, boy, early on, Jim, D'Angelo Russell missed a lot of shots for the Nets. You think that was a result of the way the Cavaliers were defending him? Or do you think that was just kind of not necessarily an off night, but, well, an off first three quarters, if nothing else?
Well, he probably didn't get any sleep that night and the day of the game, trying to make arrangements for family and friends and whomever and agents and people to, you know, to come to the All-Star event. Then the league was calling him, you know, what they expected of him and certain things that he would have to do. So he probably lost some focus. But, man, in the overtime, both overtimes, what did he score, 24 points in overtime? I think he recovered handsomely.
He did. He recovered extraordinarily well. And when he started making those shots in overtime, you kept thinking to yourself, wait a minute, why can't he just go back to what he was doing the first three quarters? But you're right. It just seemed like he could not miss in overtime. And it was the polar opposite during regulation. But, you know, what shouldn't get lost in all of this was the play of two terrific young players for the Cavaliers. And I'm not sure who was more impressive, Jim, Marquese Chris or Colin Sexton, especially in the clutch. They were both terrific. I want to start, though, with Marquese Chris. You know, he was sensational. But to you, I mean, he does so many things well, or at least in that game, he did so many things well. What was the most impressive part of his game to you in that loss last week?
The most impressive thing is how well he plays with young Nance. He and Nance and Brandon Knight, you know, they left together after the game, all three of those guys. They have a good relationship. I don't know if they have similar agents or they played in all-star games in college together. I don't know where it all comes from, but they waited for each other after the game. When we finished our post-game radio show, they were walking out the door together just talking and laughing and doing what young people do. But on the floor, tremendous relationship is developing between Marquese Chris and, of course, young Nance. And Chris is just, he's so athletic that when you look at his numbers, did he do that? You know, it's hard to believe that when we're giving him 25 minutes a game, that he can get us double-figure points. I mean, and double-figure rebounds and block shots. He's just a super athlete. Now, I was told this by some of their people, that when he was a rookie, he could touch the top of the backboard. That means that he could jump 13 feet. Now, I don't know what shape his legs are in today, but that made me a believer after I've seen what he's done since he's been here with us as far as dunking on people.
Yeah, and I mean, really, the incredible inside-outside game. It's not just that he's doing all those wonderful things you mentioned, but, you know, he's knocking down three-point shots as well. I mean, that's,
and he's young. And he's a young kid. Yeah.
21, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's incredible. It makes you think, you know, the Cavaliers ended up getting he and Brandon Knight and a first-round pick in that deal for Alec Burks. And it gets you to thinking, if he was this good, why in the world didn't the Rockets play him more?
Well, if you look at the way the Rockets are structured, they've got Capella coming back. And they want to put themselves in a position where they can give their best players maximum minutes. As you can see, each game that Marquese Chris has played, he's gotten better. Here's a kid that needs minutes and time, and it takes some money off of their cap, but it also puts us in a position where we're building with young players. I think, and I honestly believe that this is the most intriguing trade that young Kobe Altman has made. That's going to be probably one of the greatest moves in our franchise history. If this kid can stay with us, if he can just keep maturing, he's 6'10 and a half, almost 6'11, still growing. He weighs about 255, tremendous athlete. He can put it on the floor, and he plays pretty good post defense. You know, he's not raw, but you can see his potential upside. And the way he plays with Nance reminds me of his father, Larry Nance Sr., with Hot Rod Williams. Bookends. They just rotate. They coordinate. One scored inside, one scored outside. They were both super athletic. I just see that combination working for us for years.
I think you kind of alluded to it there, but when you watch Marquese Chriss, I mean, this is a guy who's not content with just being an NBAer. He's a guy who wants to get on the court. He wants to work hard, and it seems to really show in what he's doing.
Yeah, it is. You know, and the unique thing about him, I think there's two or three points, and I talked about one, is he's young. The second thing, he's super athletic. And he doesn't even really understand our system on either side of the ball because we do a lot of things differently because we're so guard-oriented. But we've been able to get him open and get him the ball, and he's been effective. And I'm just telling you that for a kid who only come to us three or four games ago and the impact that he's had on us already, it's truly amazing. Tremendous upside. Hey, Kobe, you got an A from me.
Well, and it's hard to dispute that. Even though it's only been a few games, Jim, I think you certainly hit on a number of great points there as well. And he made some comments after the game stating that it wasn't that he didn't want to play with the Rockets. That's a playoff team, and obviously when you're associated with Paul and Harden, you're part of a pretty special group of elite players. But he mentioned after the game it wasn't that he didn't want to play with the Rockets. He asked them to trade him because he wanted to go to a team or an environment that would allow him to be the best version of him. What is it about this Cavalier makeup right now that allows him to be the best version of him?
Kids. Young kids with character. We've got a team full of them. We've got a bunch of young kids who are not only good basketball players, they're with a tremendous amount of potential like Osman and Nance and some of the other kids, but also they have talent. That makes a difference. You know, the talented, they're down right now, so that means that they're looking for people who can play minutes. And in this league, to be seen, to create value, you have to play. And so this is appealing to a lot of young players who are looking to build a reputation. They know if they come to Cleveland, it's a wide-open game. I'm going to play with some guys who can score the ball. Our biggest problem is that we haven't had size. Now we've got Marquese. You know, this is an inviting situation for young players who are yet not superstars. You know, and the development of these players is very obvious now that we're at this point in the season. Nance has gotten better. Osman has gotten better. Sexton, as you mentioned earlier, over the last three or four games, he's gotten better. Marquese is going to get tremendously better. And then now you've got Kevin Love coming back and possibly Tristan.
Jim, for young guys like this, I mean, you talk about the appeal of coming to a team like this because of the youth. What about the coaching situation and Larry Drew, too, to have a guy, as you mentioned, who's more of kind of a teacher than he is, hey, this is the way we're going to go do things?
That's right. I think that's key for where we're at right now. The whole thing about Drew is he's steady. I mean, the message hasn't changed. Sure. You know, he'll challenge these guys. He beats them with a wet noodle. So they know when they make mistakes, but he's not burying them. He's not hurting their confidence. He wants them to score. He wants them to accept the responsibility that they have to defend every night. Young players coming into this league, they always favor the offensive side of the ball. It's very rare you get one that favors the defensive side because they're conditioned like that. But in our league, the really, really good teams, the teams that are championship threat, they defend also as well as score.
Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And some of the elements you mentioned when talking about, you know, this environment with the Cavaliers being appealing to guys like Marquese Chriss, you think a lot of that certainly applies as well to Brandon Knight, you know, a new opportunity for him to play a little bit more. I know recently he's been on a minutes restriction, but, you know, he certainly has some chances here, Jim, to do things he certainly couldn't do with that crowded backcourt over in Houston.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You know, he's had some serious injuries, sat out a year. You know, this was a kid that was on the uptick. And everybody just knew that in time this kid was going to be one of the top 10 point guards in the league. He was fast, athletic, tough, and he was making shots. And then all of a sudden the knees gave way. And then this incident after that, it's just a combination of things. But he kept his head. and he's a fighter, and he's been so impressive with us that, you know, we have to probably make some adjustments as to who we keep and how we want to do this thing. But it all comes back to Kobe, and it always comes back to Coach Drew and the way that he's teaching these kids.
Well, and I think if you look at the way that game went down last week, triple overtime, you're going to have guys that get into foul trouble. And as a result, I know the Cavaliers had some guys. We mentioned Brandon Knight, Chetty Osmond also playing with a minutes restriction. Any idea how much longer that might last? Is there any chance that some of those minutes restrictions could be lifted in the coming weeks?
I don't know. You know, I was at practice today, and they went probably close to 2 hours, you know, and they scrimmaged a lot, you know, trying to develop a rhythm, trying to get off to a good start after the All-Star break. That's where most teams' heads are. So people are going to come at us. It's already established where everybody is in the standings. A lot of teams think they should be better. And so their teams are going to be more detailed. They're going to pay more attention to the little things. They're going to defend better, and they're going to be more physical. And so we have to be ready for that. You know, we can't adjust now as the season goes on because the season's almost over. So I just think that as far as we're concerned, I don't know when those guys will be back, but it shouldn't be too much longer.
Well, one guy who certainly has a pretty intriguing story is Nick Stauskas. Boy, I tell you what, how about the week he had? I mean, he was essentially a part of four different teams, and now he's back with the Cavaliers, and he'll be with the team through the rest of the season. Well, what exactly is it that Stauskas brings to the table, and how will he fit in with the Cavaliers the rest of the year?
Well, he's got a history in college as a great shooter, but he never got the opportunity or the consistent minutes to get his rhythm going. Very similar to Joe Harris, who won the three-point shootout. Joe was all right with us, but he could never get consistent minutes because we were such a stacked team at the time. Then he goes to New Jersey. He finds a place. He's getting touches in his flow. They're looking for him. He's one of the top two or three options after the first option. And he was leading the league at one point in the three-point field goal percentage. Then he goes out there and he beats Curry in the three-point contest. Wow. You see, minutes are so important, and I think it's the same way with this kid, Stauskas. He has great size for a shooter, about 6'6", 6'7", and he's got a nice stroke, but doesn't have confidence. And you're going to build confidence through experience. So he's going to be on a team where he's going to be put in some situations. He's playing with some young guys who are young, just like him. All he's got to do is keep his head on, stay aggressive, and build that confidence. Once a shooter gets his confidence, it is so hard to break. He'll be good for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's a game changer, no question about that. I want to go into the final moments of that second overtime, and I know this has been dissected a number of different ways. Boy, it was just kind of a gut-wrenching three that Damari Carroll hit to tie things up and force a third overtime. You think there's any different way the Cavaliers could have defended that? Could they have gone about that differently? I know in the post-game presser, Coach Drew had addressed that. He mentioned the Cavaliers played that the way he told them to play it. I mean, they certainly could have fouled there as well, but do you think they handled that the right way?
It's hard to say. You know, after the fact, you know, makes us all great coaches. But he coaches a certain way. And to change from what he normally does, which means stay tough, stay man-to-man, two players coming together, switch. That philosophy has been consistent with the way we play. Joe Barry Carroll is having a pretty good year as far as field goal percentage from three-point range. But I remember the Carroll that couldn't make a wide-open three all through the playoffs for the last 2 years when he played against us. So it was probably a surprise to him because he jumped higher than anyone. I thought it was contested enough, but he got off a great shot. That's what happens in our game. You know, guys who maybe don't have the numbers, all of a sudden they're put in situations. You try to figure out how to defend them based upon what they've done in the recent past. And then all of a sudden they make a great shot that's uncharacteristic. That happens a lot in our game. So I don't have any more to say about it. I'm not trying to second-guess the coach because I'm a huge fan of his.
Sure, and you're right. I mean, after the fact, we're all experts, no doubt about that, and we've all certainly got our hindsight in 2020 vision for sure. But perfectly understood, just dissecting that last series.
Sure. It got you. Yeah, you have to do that.
Sure.
That's what it's a great question.
Sure. Well, and I mean, and it was one of those games, too, where God, it was just so much fun to watch. I'm sitting there watching this go down, and it was almost like one of those games you didn't want it to end. It was just wildly entertaining from start to finish.
Yes, and it was.
Hopefully tomorrow is the same thing. What can we expect tomorrow night when the Cavaliers square off against the Phoenix Suns?
Two young teams trying to gauge where they're at in relationship to another young team and to each other. It's what we call a comparative. You know. Let's see how our young kids play against their young kids, especially based on points and score. And let's look at their depth. Let's see how they play. Who wants to play together? Let's look at who's not playing together. Who's effective? Who isn't? You know. Let's see. And that's what these kind of games offer. They offer you a chance to put two young teams under the microscope and gauge for yourself. Give yourself an idea as to where they're really at as far as talent, as far as playing together, as far as doing all those things that are contagious to winning in this new type of NBA.
Very good stuff. Looking forward to it tomorrow. Certainly looking forward to hearing the call tomorrow as well, Jim. As always, we appreciate the time. Hopefully you had a chance to rest and relax a little bit over the All-Star break before getting back after it again tomorrow night. But, Jim, we appreciate the time, and we look forward to doing it again next week.
Hey, I appreciate the questions. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you very much, Jim. Again, Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.